Thank you, everyone, for giving me the opportunity to present our work. Professor Barbara, Director of the Institute, Professor Thomas Telepi for the introduction, and also Professor Nosedal for providing the groundwork, providing the introduction to all these problems in nonlinear programming. What I am going to talk about this presentation of mine today is going to deal with various kinds of models, the type of models which Professor Nosedal was mentioning. We will show where and what kind of problems we are using this for. The presentation is today, it was supposed to be given by my colleague Professor Claudio Canizares. Unfortunately, he was not here in Canada for some personal reasons, so I am replacing him. So some part of the presentation is his work, but I will try to present both of the things as best as I can. So our application area is power systems, and with specific reference it is power markets, or rather electricity markets. And the main motivation is therefore that we have several kinds of objectives. The main motivation in the classical framework was the power system operators were trying to minimize cost, and there were the main challenges of minimizing the cost subject to several operating constraints. And usually, as you know, power systems are recognized as the largest man-made systems in the world, and these are having thousands and ten thousands of constants. It depends on what kind of modeling detail the system operator is going into. So previous work on this have been quite a few. Security constraint optimal power flow, that is what is a basic bottom line for today's discussion, SCOPF. But we'll see how this SCOPF has been further and further modified in the context of competition and in the context of deregulated markets. So the basic premise is SCOPF, and then SCOPF in the context of power markets. Then we will discuss some new applications. The first one is VSCOPF. That is again that SC term is still there. SC means security constraint. So we have a voltage security or a voltage stability constraint OPF. Then we have a singular value OPF. So we will see various kinds of constraints, how these are coming into the nonlinear programming, and how I will not go into the details of the solution methods, because some of these are not really my work, and we have used some kind of methods to solve this. The last one is reactive power market. So reactive power, for those who are not really aware of this power concept, reactive power is not, basically apparent power which is not consumed, but still there is some, it is primarily accounted because of the transmission losses which takes place. The losses, the transmission lines, which the transmission wires which we have in real systems, they are not pure resistors. They have some kind of inductances, that is because of the magnetizing effect. And because of that, the voltage and current on these lines are not in the same angle. There is an angle difference, and therefore there is a kind of loss. There is a certain kind of consumption which we call reactive power. In the context of electricity markets, power operators are very much concerned about reactive power, and that is a primary issue which determines how the system voltages will be appearing in the system. So reactive power, provision for reactive power is very important. So we will see that these reactive power market models are very complex nonlinear mixed integer program models, and we have devised some method to eliminate those integer variables. So optimization models have traditionally played a very important role in power systems, and with the introduction of competitive markets, the paradigms have changed. So the objective functions have changed, and constraints have been modified, and also new issues have emerged and which require faster computation methods. The typical optimization problems, in operational planning there are several time frames of how the system operators and the planners work. So from the time frame of long term planning, where the system of planners take into account say 10 years ahead generation expansion planning or transmission expansion planning, which a large scale multi period optimization problems. From that point of view, and from that scale to medium term, that is 1 year advance or to a shorter term time period, say where the system operator is planning for the next week. In that time frame, here we are in that kind of framework where optimization models are short term scheduling problems, which basically is a mixed integer problem. It involves scheduling the generators 1 week to 1 day in advance. So it could be from 24 hours to 168 hours in advance, and these are 0-1 optimization, and the system operator has to take decisions on commitment. That is how the generators will be committed over every hour for the next week. So these are subject to several multiple constraints, and all of them are technical constraints governing, that is, how the units will operate. And there are intertemporal constraints also, which determine that how one of the variables are related to the same variable before 1 hour before time. Then we have the very famous optimal power flow problem. The optimal power flow problems are basically short-term generation schedules. These are nonlinear programming problems. There could be several kinds of objective functions. There could be various kinds of constraints in this. We are going into that in a minute. So these are the very very well-known problems in short-term horizon, and we are going to limit our discussion of power system operational problems to this framework. So optimal power flow problems are typically solved in a time horizon of, say, every 5 to 7 minutes. So the system operator has to solve such kind of problems every 5 minutes to determine the status of the system in the control room. And that's why we need, and these are very large scale problems which require fast computation. So not only the size, but we have to have the size, we have to have the computational speed also, which is required. So those are the two classical problems. And in the new environment, in the deregulated market environment, we have also got this electricity market problem. So and electricity is the ultimate real time phenomena, and therefore you have to take these decisions in a very speedy manner. And there are various kinds of advantages of having this OPF models, we'll see. And there are the solution methods, primarily the NLP models have been solved using interior point based methods. MATLAB kind of environment has been used. For our calculations, we have also used GAMS environment, the standard solvers for Minos and Dicopt and so on. And we'll see some. So we'll go into the models without further introduction. I think the motivations are enough. There is one more issue which we have to emphasize, that is another thing is this part, that is the stability constraint OPF, that is the we should have the security is a major issue in today's power markets, because of the fact that the cost of not having power is extremely high. So as we have seen 2 years back on the August blackout, 14th August blackout, it was a very critical situation when the whole economy collapses in a country, in a situation. And then this kind of situation followed in England and Sweden and other parts of Europe also. And so one of the major issues for power system operators and the regulators, and as well as the government and the policymakers, is that the power systems are the critical infrastructure, and that should be very secure and reliable at all times. So that is where we are coming in, and we are using this nonlinear platform and building in our technical constraints, security constraints, to solve this kind of problems in real time for large systems. So we get into the problems definition. As you see here, these are the standard problems. These are the standard security constraint OPF, the classical problem. This is the minimization of cost function. The cost function looks like this, where these are the generator cost functions. The generator cost functions are usually very confidential functions. They are not given out. But we are talking of a classical system where all the generators belong to one company. For example, Ontario Hydro in the past, they had access to all this information. In today's markets, the system operators do not have access to this information. So these are replaced by bids. And now this is the main equation which professor was mentioning, that this could go up to thousands and ten thousands. This is the equality constant, and this equality constant main variable are the bus voltages, the voltages at each node and the voltage angles, and these are the control variables, that is the real power generation, where the system operator can decide how much to generate and how much reactive power to schedule. So this is a set of nonlinear constraints, and then you have this binding constraints, which are the inequality constraints. This two inequality constraints, that is the power limit, this is the power flow on a line, which is also to be limited. So these are essentially these two, PT and IT, this is the power flow on a line and the current on a line. These are the main security constraints, that is the system operator has to operate the system such that the power flow on the line are within this, on the security limits. And these are again nonlinear constraints. So these are, as you can see here in detail, the functional form for the equality constant, which is here, that essentially looks like this. So there are cosine terms and sine terms here, and delta are the angles which are variables which are to be solved, and voltages are also unknowns here, these are knowns. G's are the system parameters. So the system operator first has to model the whole system. So a large amount of data is required. Every line, every transformer, every generator has to be modeled in detail, and then you have these variables, which are the voltages, which are the decision variables, and PIs and QIs are the control variables, so you can seek the optimal solution while minimizing the cost within those boundaries. So security constant OPF, the main objective is to minimize the generation cost, and the grid security, that is represented by the line power flows. The line power flows, as we have seen here, these are the line power flows, and this is PT max, that is the security limit of the system. And the security limit is determined by the system operator through offline calculations, where what they do is they carry out some, it's called the N minus 1 security criterion, which means that they take out the largest generator out of the system and evaluate if the system can survive. So if the system operator plans for a higher level of security, it could be N minus 2 criterion, where they take out two large generators or two transmission lines out of the system, and then they determine this kind of security constraints, and these are essentially built into this power flow limits, and these are acting as a security criterion, the current limits and the thermal limits both, and the bus voltage limits. So all the bus voltages, so what we need is quality of power. So when you are as a customer, when you see that power at your house is coming at a voltage which is not good, your equipment gets damaged. So the system operator has to maintain a limit on the bus voltages, that the voltage should not go below a certain point. So these are the constraints which have to be maintained, and these are solved for, has been solved classically for large systems using various kinds of techniques, software and modeling platforms. Now the further progress in this kind of modeling is that the markets have come up. So electricity markets have developed, and electricity markets require that these models also should be changed. And what has changed is that the objective function, because the paradigms have changed. Earlier the system operator was minimizing the cost. Now no one wants to minimize the cost. The markets are working on this kind of standard objective function. This is a social welfare. That means this first term is the benefit function of the customer side, and this is a cost function of the generators. So the net is basically, when you look at the economic basic supply demand curve, the intersection, it is the area between the two supply and demand curve. So that is what is maximized now, the social welfare. These remain the same because power flow is taking place in the same way. The laws of physics remain the same. And so these are the equations, and then here we have this other equations where the PS is the power which is being sold. So now we have this additional constant that the generators are no longer under the control of one operator who is minimizing everything. Here these are the bids. So they are only participating in the market, and CDs and CS, these are all bid prices. And we still have those constraints, the security constraints and voltage constraints, these are part of the same. So here mainly this part has changed, the objective function, and these are the bits which are coming in. Yes, please.
Can you give an example of what the benefit, what they call the
social welfare?
The social welfare function is.
Example?
Yeah. what does it measure, some example, why does it enter like that in the system?
Oh.
It's the price of the...
No, what happens is, this in the electricity markets, we have, this is the power, and this side is the price. This side is the price, and when the generators are on one side, and the customers are on the other side. Now the generators, they provide a set of bids, and this is for every 5 minutes,
yeah.
Right? These are real-time markets. So the generators are submitting the bids, and what the market operator does is, the market operator arranges these bids in increasing order of prices. Okay, so this could be something like this. So generator 1, generator 2, or rather company 1, company 2, they are providing these bids. Okay, so what it means is that, for example, we are looking at one-sided auction. That is, there are no customers are not bidding. So the market operator receives these bids. Okay, and now the market operator knows that after 5 minutes the demand is going to be something like this. So the market operator will clear this much of energy. Now what will happen is this, the market price is settled at this point. The idea is basically this part, when you look at this, if this is the market price, then the profit for the generator, the total profit is, or rather, if you see the revenue for the generator, this is P, is given by rho times P. The cost is given by, this is the cost function, so let us say C times P. Okay, so the profit is given by rho times P minus C times P. Okay, so this is the profit function. On the other hand, if you look at the customer side, customers are bidding from the on the other side, and the market operator arranges the bids in decreasing order of prices, and these prices are appearing somewhere like this. Say they intersect at that particular point itself. Now this part, this area, the whole area up to the bottom, that is the customer's benefit. Okay, and this part is what the customers are paying. So the total benefit minus what they are paying is the customer's actual, the net benefit. And the total is, this part is the first, the above part, this part is called the customer's benefit, this is the generator's profit, this two together is social welfare, and it can be shown theoretically that if the market price is at the intersection of the demand and supply curve, then social welfare is maximized. It can be proved. So what we do essentially, market operator also does, is it's looking at the intersection of these two bids and finding the uniform market price, and that is essentially maximization of the social welfare. So we have this function, but this is a very simple auction market where we have only bids here. There are no other constraints. But we are talking of a social welfare function maximization subject to all these constraints. And as you see, the main difference between this and that is that here, the demand, that is the power, is one single number, which is what happens for Ontario. The market settlement is done for one demand condition. That means for, say, at 10 o'clock in the morning, the total Ontario demand is aggregated, and that is given one single price. What we are looking at here is this demand is nodal. That means we are looking at disaggregated demand. Therefore, here essentially this function, this uniform market price, is nothing but the Lagrangian of the demand supply balance of a single demand balance. That's for the whole system. That means the total generation summation of Pi is equal to Pd. That is one demand, and that is the equality constraint. In our case, we have a disaggregated demand, that is a demand supply balance at each node, and that gives us, instead of, in this case you have one lambda, in our case we have lambda I. That means that gives rise to the introduction of locational marginal price. So you have every price, every location you have one price, and not only for real power, this is a real power market, there is a reactive power also here. So the system operator, by virtue of solving this model, can know lambda i's as well as say another set of duals, which are say gamma i's. So these two give precise information of the system to the system operator about what is the cost of providing real power as well as reactive power at each and every geographical location in the system. So this is SCOPF in the markets. So this model basically is an NLP security constant OPF that maximizes social welfare, and locational marginal prices are byproducts of this optimization. That's what we said. So we have this locational based marginal prices and the Lagrange multipliers of that function. So we have this basically this demand supply balance, the duals of this will be the Lagrange multipliers. In practice, the market models based on linear programming models are most commonly used because they are easy to solve and nothing else. But when we are looking at this, we are trying to model it as closely as possible from the technical point of view. So the linear models look like this. There is an example of linear models. This part is the social welfare function, and the linear model main difference is that the demand supply balance is changed. Now the demand supply balance looks like this, where you don't have the full network equations. The loss, basically the transmission losses, are represented in a very simplistic manner. There are some empirical formula to represent the losses. Those are used to represent, and then rest of it is a demand and supply balance. And this is another change. The network equations are replaced by this is called a DC power flow. So far we were having AC power flow. Now we have modified it to a DC power flow, where basically we have removed the reactive power equations, the voltages, and this becomes a very simplistic relation. Bij is the susceptance of the lines, those are constants, and these are always there. As you can see here, these are the angles, that is the, these are called the power angles, and these are not directly, there is no direct constraint on this, but these are the power flow on the lines are limited by an upper limit, and this power flow on the lines are related to the voltage angles across the two lines. So we are implicitly having a constraint on these angles. Rest of the constraints are there. One interesting constraint is this one, which is known as the intertemporal constraint, which is ramping constraint. That means if there is a generator, that generator is operating at a certain point, and that generator is operating somewhere here at a particular hour, and next hour it is limited by a ramp up and ramp down. So the generator capacity might be say 500 megawatt, but it is operating at say 100 megawatt at hour k. Then at hour k plus 1, it is only limited in this region, because the generators are not like switches. They have some technical constraints. They cannot increase their generation within beyond a certain value. So next hour, the generation is say it comes here. The ramping for k plus 2 is again another value, which is given by the ramp constraint. So these are moving boundaries which are going every hour, intertemporal constants, which are also modeled here. So that makes the system quite complex in nature. So RD and RU are the ramping up and ramping down limits. So same thing will happen if it is to be backing down. So, and there are other constraints. So for example, operating reserve in Ontario, there are different kinds of operating reserve. Sometimes they need to have an operating reserve with 10 minutes, sometimes 30 minutes. So there are different types of categories of generators who provide these reserves. Then there are line flow limits, which vary with the solution of the auction, so all these things. And these developments have led to the development of a stability constant OPF. So the next model, the further modification of this is a stability constant OPF. What is a stability constant OPF? We should specify it more clearly, that is a voltage stability constant. Now, what is voltage stability? In a very simple language. Voltage stability is that when you in your houses also you might have seen that if you use an electric heater and then you start loading, if you use two electric heaters, you will see the lights dimming a bit. If you use three electric heaters or load the system more and more, you will see that there is an impact on the general light. Okay, the voltage has gone down a bit. Sometimes if you exceed the capability of your fuse, there will be a blow up of the fuse and the power will be out for a while. So here also power systems operate in the same way. When the loadability, when the system is loaded severely, then the voltage, the general voltage profile goes down, is low. And the system nowadays in electricity markets, the general trend is that there are numerous transactions, numerous trades coming up. Means earlier it was only Ontario, restricted to Ontario. Now power is flowing like New York is buying power from Quebec, which is flowing through Ontario, and so on and so forth. We don't know what is happening. And because of such kind of trades and transactions, the systems are always loaded. And they are always operating very close to the margins, the reliability margins. And the situation is something like this. This is the picture of the voltage stability characteristic of the system. What happens is this side on the x-axis is the loadability index of the system, and this y-axis gives the you have seen the power flow equations. Those power flow equations, if you take a Jacobian of those power flow equations, the Taylor series expansion of those power flow equations, and take the Jacobian of those, and the determinant of the Jacobian, that gives the voltage stability index, and that determinant starts reducing as you start loading the system. So that is the voltage stability index. And at a certain point of loadability, that determinant becomes zero. That is a singular point of the power system. And the power system operators have to avoid reaching that singular point, which is a point of voltage collapse. And then it is a full grid collapse. So that cannot be sustained anymore, and that will be a blackout. So the system operators have to avoid such loading conditions in the system, and therefore a cutoff is created by the operator, which is somewhere this horizontal line, which is given as sigma c. So this is a constant, which is the stability constant. That means the voltage stability margin should not fall below that. So using that constant, you can see the model is further revised now, and that is the weight introduced here. The social welfare part is already there. Now a separate weight is introduced, that is with lambda c, that is the loadability of the system. So these two together, they form a kind of multi-objective or rather goal programming kind of problem, where this weight, we do not put too much weight on that. Most of the weight, sorry, yeah, but W is a lower value. So most of the weight is on the social welfare. We want to maximize the social welfare more priority. And the same set of equations exist, except that you see that there are two sets of FPs. So one set of equations appear with C and the other with without C. Basically what we do is that we solve two sets of equations. One is, so the system is operating like this. We set one is at the nominal point and the other is at the point of collapse, or rather a bit before collapse. So this is for the critical point and that is for the regular point. And so those two points are solved and we obtain an optimal solution. As you see here, this is the lambda c is limited, the current limits and voltage limits and so on, everything is there. So it becomes a really further complex problem. And the solution of this gives, of course, this is a very tight situation. The cost will, the social welfare will reduce. As more constraints you bring in, the social welfare will go on reducing and the solution will become more restrictive. So therefore, yeah, this is one important thing, that that weighting factor W should not be very high, because then we are changing the market pattern. You're not really maximizing the social welfare, you are doing something else. So that is not desirable. So it should be kept fairly small. That is that comes from operator experience, for more or less. So this is the third category of model. The other way, the same thing can be represented in another way. This is basically the same thing, maximizing the social welfare, but here it is a singular value. Basically, the calculation of this is now implicitly obtained. So here I'll give the slides. There are some calculations how it was done by the main person, Claudio Canizares. But this is an implicit constant, which means that this calculation does not appear directly in this model. It is calculated beforehand and then introduced into the nonlinear programming problem subsequently. Rest of the constraints figure as it is. So we have seen this, and the next category, okay, there is an example here. This is a very small power system. There are six load centers, or rather buses we call them, and there are three generators located at bus number 1, 2, and 3. These are called GENCOs, generating companies in present days. And at bus 4, 5, 6, there are three customers, these are, we call them ESCOs, or rather energy service companies. Say it could be some local utility providing the distribution network and so on. So for this, the two methods have been applied, and the two methods are real. So this is what is the market settlement. So there are bids coming from the generating companies, the customers are bidding, and the market is settled at this market clearing price. So what it shows is that the social welfare is maximized, that is the area in this region that is maximum when you go for a uniform market price, which is the intersection of these two. Then the VSC OPF is calculated, and these are the locational marginal prices. So at each node, the generator buses and the customers have the locational marginal prices are determined. The voltages are here, and the payments which are to be made here are seen. And the voltage stability margin is 520 megawatts. The voltage stability margin means how much the load can be extended by. So that is 520 megawatts, and these are the transactions which are carried out. So these are really minute details of the calculations and the studies. Same thing has been carried out for the voltage stability constant OPF, that is where we have the weighted function, that is with the goal programming or multi-objective. The similar results of similar order are seen, and there are publications if you want to go into the details of that. So what we achieve is basically higher voltages, which is always desirable, the higher voltage profile and lower losses and higher voltage stability margin, that is you can load the system more, and of course lower nodal prices and higher transaction levels. The next part of the discussion is reactive power auction. And what is that? Reactive power auction is, as we said, it is not real power, that is not megawatt that you actually consume. It is the power which is already, it is kind of hidden within your consumption. For example, if you use a motor, then your motor consumes some amount of reactive power because of the motor windings which have inductances in that. So those kind of consumptions are reactive power, and the system operator, although it is not receiving money for reactive power, we don't pay for reactive power, the system operator has to provide that to the customers, has to transport it over the network, and that incurs heavy losses. So this is very important to keep the system secure. So if the system operator is not transferring reactive power, then what happens is at the customer end, the voltages will go down. So in order to avoid that, the system operator has to provide reactive power, and there are, in the present competitive markets, there are mechanisms to charge for that. So the situation is a bit complicated. Because reactive power is very local in nature, and there are reasons for market power which can arise from this kind of product. So in competitive markets, not only energy is not the only product, there are different other products which have come into the market. So these are kind of different kinds of products which are also traded and auctioned in the market in certain cases. So reactive power constraints are modeled using this capability curve of a generator. And as Professor Nocetal was saying, that with nonlinear programming, the developments, that the areas, the feasibility areas and the shapes have changed. And this is one such example where the feasibility areas are now looking different. And as you see here, this is a generator capability curve, that is the region within which a generator which you have here in the power stations, they operate. And this is a, this shows this coordinate system, the real axis is the real power, this is the imaginary axis, and Q is denoting the reactive power. And for example, under this are the limits, and these are the constraints are given by parts of different circles. So this constraint, this part of it is a circle with a center at the origin, while that that part of the constraint is given by a circle here, origin here. So these are different parts of circles. Now given, say, the generator is operating at that particular point where the focus is pointed, say it is operating here, and at any given instant there is a voltage problem in the system, and the system operator is asking the generator that I want more reactive power. So the generator has to increase its reactive power up to this point. Beyond that, if it provides, then there are technical constraints and there are some limits on the system that it cannot go beyond that kind of reactive power. So what it will do is it has to reduce its real power generation, and then only it can go up to that value up there. So that extra amount of reactive power which it can add to the system by reducing its real power is what the system operators are asking for. But observe that this essentially means that the generator is losing a lot of revenue. The generator is losing on the market market trading, and that has some implications. And essentially reactive power, there is no price for this additional reactive power, but the price is rather the opportunity cost, the lost opportunity cost of the generator, and that is essentially what the system operators have to pay for to the generator. For optimization guys and for power system people, the challenge is to model these constraints within the power flow. Okay, and that is where here we are trying to build this kind of auction model for reactive power. So there are different kinds of slabs we are calling. So there is a slab which is on the lower side. So this part is one slab, and then we have up. So then there is an availability component, and this is the opportunity component. So there are different regions of operation of this reactive power program. So now you see the model is really building up, and it is a challenge for anyone to handle this kind of problems. And the main beauty here is that because the generator can operate in only one region out of the three regions, either in the under excitation, that is lower below the circle or between the circle, or in the opportunity cost region. Therefore there are three types of binary variables, 0 or 1, introduced here. So the problem now becomes a nonlinear integer problem where the constraints, some of these constraints look like this, and these are the boundaries of these constraints. And remember that these constraints are floating constraints because it is here. These constraints, for example, the generator is operating at that point, then the constraint is this circle. When the generator reduces, then the constraint becomes this circle. So the equation also changes depending on how the constraints are, where they are located. That is one thing. The objective function is now revised. This is a social welfare for the generator with regard to the reactive power. We will not go into those details. So these power flow equations, which are the equality constraints, they remain the same. What we have added is a bunch of integer variables, binary variables here, and then this kind of constraints here. Now we initially we tried to solve this. We have solved this using GAMS Dykov solver, but the main problem with Dykov solvers is that they do not guarantee the global optimal. So we do not know. We achieved the solution for these models for a fairly large system, but that was the main problem. So what we have tried to do here is that we have tried to build in, we have tried to develop some heuristic method, and my colleague Professor Miguel Angus is also sitting here. He has been party to this game also. So not rather party, he was very important part of this game. So this is where we'll go into the details of that. So here we are trying to look at various Lagrange multipliers of these constraints. So lambda is the regular dual. The regular dual means the dual associated with the load flow equations, power flow equations. That remains the same. But the meaning of the lambda now changes because the objective function is different now. And these are the bid prices for reactive power. And then we have another lambda, dual, which is gamma, which is the Lagrange multiplier associated with the reactive power constant, that is the capability constant. So it means that how much system loss will change for a unit change in reactive power. So that is a very interesting constant, because it shows that if the generator could produce one more megawatt when the capacity is hit, then how much can it contribute to the system. So different generators located in the network, looking at their gamma values, you can see which generator is more important and which is less important. And then you have their bid prices. So if you have a generator with a, suppose there is a generator in Toronto downtown, and that generator is bidding high, probably the generator, the system operator will still choose the Toronto downtown generator rather than transporting reactive power from 500 kilometers away if it is cheap. So probably those kind of cost benefit optimization issues are also brought into this picture. So this is an MILEP problem, and we solved this earlier, but we have moved over now. So this is a heuristic scheme which provides a kind of way to handle this integer constraints, at least. Yes, please.
So you are saying you cannot guarantee that you will get a global optimum, but you have an
right.
Formulation. But did you have a feeling that you were not getting a good solution to?
No.
Or it was just something conceptual?
Conceptual, because we were using the GAMS platform, and those days Baron was not available to us. Baron came a few years later, recently actually. And we were using DICOPT, and DICOPT only says that it is providing a local optimal, and that's all. But from the power systems point of view, we have one advantage in that when you start with the initial values, you can make very intelligent assumptions on the initial solution. Because power systems are the voltages, the values of the voltages are rather guaranteed, that you have to maintain this particular voltage profile, and the angles have to be around this range, so you can make initial assumptions to be close. But we don't have, we had a fairly good solution, but still theoretically it says that it is not a global optimal. So the heuristic scheme, what we do here is we obtain these values. First of all, we solve this OPF and we obtain this Lagrange multipliers. Now, once these are obtained, then we look at this Lagrange. So this is the classical OPF, minimizing this and find the Lagrange multipliers, and then we see which region this reactive power generation is lying. So that is essentially the crux of it. So this is the first step of the heuristic, that is, if the generator reactive power is positive, then if it is yes, then we look at the Lagrange multiplier associated with it. If that is positive, then it is to be Q2. If it is negative, then it is Q3. So this is a check for that. So basically, it is something like this. This region is Q1, this region is Q2, and this region is Q3. And what we say is, if say the generator is, first of all, the generation is positive, that means it is somewhere between Q2 and Q3. Then we see gamma is gamma positive? Then if gamma is not positive, that means it is here, because gamma is only positive when Q hits this limit. When Q will hit this limit, then gamma will be non-zero. So that is where we say, if it is not positive, then we assign it to Q2. If it is positive, then we assign it to Q3. And if Q is negative, then it goes to Q1. So this is the first level of heuristic we apply. Then we can assign each of, so first solution is that we find the values of Q's, and we solve the general solution, and we assign them to each of these sectors. So there are numerous generators in the system. We assign a kind of iterative scheme to assign them to these sectors, and once they are there, we solve another OPF to maximize the social welfare. Right? We maximize the social welfare, and then we look at some of these cases that, so this is the social welfare maximization, this becomes a nonlinear program again, straight nonlinear, because we have already assigned, there is no further binary selection. The second step is, or rather the third step is this one, where we update the solution, because sometimes this could be located at this point. Okay, that means Q2 is could be 0, and then you look at this one and we bring that Q to Q1. We see that probably if it was hitting this limit, probably it could be in this one, and we check, we individually check for each of these, that for if you set it here, then whether the social welfare was higher or it reduced. And then we, so this is a, there's a detailed write-up on all these papers and all that. So this is a kind of heuristic which works well for a fairly large system, and this is the kind of system we are using, but this is a very small system actually, and this is actually a recognized SIGRE 32 bus. Actually there are 40 buses though, 41 buses system. SIGRE is a kind of is a French technical body which is about transmission and distribution operations, international organization. So they have certified the system. Essentially this is a replica of a Swedish transmission network, and it is a longitudinal system where most of the generators are located in the north, and this is the main consumption is in the south, because of main cities are located here, and the power flow is longitudinal, and because of that there are several, so these corridors are usually very critical and they carry lots of reactive power, and it is seen that there are severe contingencies. There are, these systems are known for such kind of voltage stability problems. So then there are some numbers which probably will not be much interesting to you, but those are the steps which we have shown, and then the social welfare in step 2 is calculated and updated and so on and so forth. So with that I will come to the concluding remarks, and as you have seen here, there are whole lots of challenges for power engineers as well as the optimization people. And these are basic challenges, that this several thousands of constraints and objective functions are changing. And the other issue is that these have to be solved. And as we have seen here, the solution should be obtained in 1 or 2 minutes, because we are, system operation is going as close as possible to the real time. Earlier, the system operators would be, earlier we had day ahead markets. Now we have real time markets. We are having 5 minute ahead markets. So these markets require this kind of solutions, and the system operators are faced with this. In the absence of the methods, what they do is they use linear methods, but then they do not represent the whole thing clearly. So that is our challenge in the future. So another thing is convergence is the issue, and global optimal, as I said, are not a great concern, as Professor said. Probably we are looking at some, so from engineering point of view, you have a good solution which is fulfilling all the constraints, the system operator is satisfied. So that is also a possible engineering solution. So this is our requirement now. We are looking for more solution methods which are fast and which can provide all of these facilities to us. I thank you all for your patient hearing of this talk. Thank you.
Thank you.